You're listening to Cattails.
Self-taught guitarist Jamie Moses has gone from playing US Air Force bases at the tender age of 13 to stadiums with Queen and Paul Rodgers, not to mention Bob Geldof, The Pretenders, Chaka Khan and even Tom Jones in between. And the telephone hasn't stopped ringing. Now playing with Paul Young and the Los Pacaminos, the SAS band and the world-famous Red Sox, the accomplished musician rarely has time for relaxation, but when he does, he likes nothing more than a night in with his family. This is The One with Jamie Moses.
Well, Jamie, I think it's amazing the amount of people that you have played with. I mean, I have been looking at your website, I have been reading up on you, I mean, you're everywhere, and you have played with the cream of the cream, haven't you? Queen, Tom Jones, Bob Geldof, Pretenders, Chaka Khan, Amy Winehouse, good God, too many people to mention.
No, it seems weird to me.
You've got around a bit here, haven't you, Jamie? What have you been doing, touting your wares, or is the phone constantly ringing? What happens?
Well, I mean, thank God the phone does seem to constantly ring, and I'm still mystified as to why, but there you go. I mean, I've been really, really lucky. I've also put a lot of time into learning how to play the guitar. There's always that. But because a lot of the guys that I know from years and years ago are doing other, you know, driving cabs and all kinds of stuff, and they just don't play anymore. They just play at home. And I can't imagine doing that, really.
No, I mean, that would probably be the ultimate sort of, you know, torture for somebody like you, I would imagine.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm getting on. That sounds terrible, but I'm not as young as I was. And if I do 10 or 12 dates in a row, which I seem to be doing a lot now, it does take its toll. I think, oh, please, can I have a night off? You know, be careful what you wish for, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you are always touring, and at the moment you're obviously out there with the Los Pasaminos. And so tell us how that all started, because that's one of the main bands that you now play with, isn't it, really, including Paul Young?
It is, yeah, it is. Well, the original, it was a gag, you know, pack them in to the pubs and the clubs and the stuff. That's when we first started. And we went, oh, that's funny, we'll use that. So that's how it's come about. That one's been gone for 26 years now. 26
wow.
Years! Deaths, births, marriages, divorces. We've been really through it with that band. But the lineup that we got at the moment is a really great one. And it's weird. It's kind of the only band, one of few bands that I know that after all this time, you know, you get bands like the Stones and the Who and what have you, who are at each other's throats, and they kind of, they're together despite the length of time that they've known each other, whereas we're kind of together because of that. And we don't argue, we just don't. Of course, we have a little spat, but it's not like, you know, I refuse to travel with him. I want my own limo. None of that. It's just a fun, it's like a gentleman's club. Well, actually, no, it's not a boys' club, really. Like a social club.
Yeah.
You know, and it's because a lot of the guys, I think part of the thing is a lot of the guys have got other things that they do. And we all play with other bands. Mark, our drummer, he's a music business manager. So he does that as well. Somebody goes, and this is something we do for fun. But it's kind of turned into something a little bit more than that, because we're on our fourth or fifth album, and we've got a reasonable following, actually. It's going really well.
I'm not surprised you do pack them in, actually, to be honest, Jamie, because I've seen the show, and it is amazingly good fun.
Oh,
it is. I mean,
you.
That's the fun.
Thank
it's the fun element of it, I think, that is so good. Obviously, the craftsmanship of all you as musicians is something else, but the fact that it is a feel-good factor, I think, really helps with that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, that comes across, and that's genuine, because that's what I was just saying, you know, that it's like a social club. And the fans almost become part of the band. We have tequila babes come up, have a couple of those a night. You know, they come up with a tray of tequilas and a cowboy hat while we're playing the song Tequila. And it's somebody from the crowd, you know, and they're chosen from the crowd each night. Yes, it's one of the more low pressure gigs.
Yeah, I suppose it is because it is, some, as you say, that sort of feel good factor, the guys all together, all having fun, and actually, it's by the sound of it, you've done it so long that it feels quite a nice, comfy pair of slippers to put on.
Exactly, and we know where each other's going musically. If somebody does something different, then the band will go with that. And we got some pretty good tunes too, if I say so myself. They're pretty good. We got really good reviews of the last album, and we never expect it to actually take off and go and be, world superstars. That's never going to happen. And that's fine. That's okay. Because, like I say, we've all got other things we do.
Yeah, absolutely. So if that's the comfy pair of slippers on the other end of the spectrum, then what's the tight pair of shoes that you're wearing on stage where it's a bit like, oh my God, I feel the pressure? What kind of gig gives you that?
Well, things like Queen, that you really got to be on your toes in the with that one, because the Queen songs are not only are they a handful, and Brian and Rog, particularly Brian, really know what they want, and that's why it's so fantastic, because they've taken so long doing these songs, they know them inside out, and also, of course, you're playing through sort of arenas and such, and it's a bigger production, much much bigger than the back arenas, but I mean, I haven't done that since Adam Lambert started with them.
Yes.
So that's been, oh, probably 10 years now, nine 10 years.
But looking back on those kind of, performances, I mean, I'm guessing everybody normally says to you, well, Queen, crikey, what was it like with Freddie? Were you actually working with them when Freddie was in the band, or is this post Freddie?
It was post Freddie that I joined the band. Shortly after, I did one gig with Fred actually, but it was before I knew the others. It was at the what's it called in St. Martin's Lane, the
Oh, yes,
Coliseum, is
yep.
it? It was a charity thing, and Fred was on stage with the Royal Ballet. It's hilarious. I mean, it was pretty tongue in cheek. And I was in the pit with the Royal
Oh,
Philharmonic.
terrific.
Incredibly, I know. Was it ever so? I can never remember. Hey, in one orchestra, you sing them all. Yeah, so we did a crazy little thing called Love, which was the single at that time. So that dates it, whenever that was. What's that,
About
80,
83, yeah,
89,
something like that.
80,
Yeah.
something like that? We did that and a little bit of Pearl Rap, and Fred was on stage wearing tights and a ballet outfit and with the moustache and the
Oh,
tutu.
terrific.
It's quite a sight.
Wow.
But he was really, really nice to us, and that just helped on. And other than that, I joined after Fred died. Brian formed the Brian May Band, so I was brought in as second guitar player for that. And then when they did one-off Queen things, but with just Brian and Roger, but as Queen, then I did those, and all the way through the Queen and Paul Rogers years. And right up until Adam Lambert
Oh,
started
how
with them.
wonderful. What a great experience. I
Yeah.
mean, that's a fabulous name. You probably had some great experiences there. But in terms of like the enjoyment for you, is it the big gigs like that are the ones that give you, obviously they're the big thrill ones, aren't they? But what would you choose if you had to say, well, if I had one gig left to play, it's going to be that one. It's the one that you've done that you could like get out of your archive and think, I'm going to redo it.
Well, let's see. There's a couple actually. There was one that we did with Queen in, it's called Kharkov, which is in the Ukraine, and that was the crowd was 320,000 in the crowd. It was in the city square, and the crowd just went all the way down the streets, and when you see it from the helicopter shots,
Wow.
it's unbelievable. Unfortunately, we played really well, and it just looks fantastic. The whole thing's quite jaw-dropping. There's that. Another one with Queen was the one in Hyde Park that we did just after the London bombings. We were scheduled to do it on the day of the London
Wow.
bombings, but obviously it was cancelled because of that, and postponed to the following week. And the whole atmosphere there was just, it was everybody pulling together despite what had happened.
Yeah.
And as an extra, we threw in Imagine, the John Lennon song, Rodge sang it. And it was he sang it with Paul Rodgers, actually. It was a really lovely moment because lyrically it was pretty...
Poignant.
Poignant, yeah. And, you know, sort of singing about sort of love and peace and how we shouldn't actually be bombing each other and that kind of thing. And then, of course, there was the Queen's Diamond Jubilee with Tom Jones. That was quite a buzz, too.
Yeah, you've got Tom on your list there as well, haven't you? And all these other names. I mean, what I've noticed about these people that you've played with is that actually if you were to say what genres they work in, you know, you've got obviously got the rock side, which is clearly where your sort of like bass comes from. But actually they're quite different styles, I would imagine. You have to adapt for each of these different artists. Is that a challenge for you?
No, it's what I enjoy. I'd be bored stupid if there was one type of music all the time. And what prepared me for that is the fact that I was brought up on U.S. air bases. And specifically in Japan, we lived in Japan for 2 years when I was 15. And I had a band there and I played four nights a week there for 2 years at that age. Country music at the Officers Club. Soul music at the Hammond Club, the NCO Club was a bit of everything, and then the Youth Center was whatever was in the charts, which at the time was, you know, Sly and the Family Stone, James Brown, Steppenwolf, Zeppelin, Beatles, Stones, just anything. So that was my grounding. That was how I learned to play the guitar, was I had to play all these styles to survive, really. Well, not to survive, because I was still at school, you know, but it was really good grounding.
Yeah. And you're self-taught, I understand. Is that something that, you know, you were just inspired to pick up the guitar one day, or was it a bit of sort of like kind of therapy, escapism for you? What was it?
It was probably just seeing the Beatles on TV.
Oh, right.
And I thought, that's it. That is what I want to do. I just, the music just drew me in. Because again, they're a bit of everything in their music, really. And it was the music of the day in the 60s. And then I saw the movie, and that was it. When I saw him being chased through car parks by women, I thought, yeah, all right then.
I can live with that.
Yeah, that and the limos and the sun. So, yeah.
But, you know...
Of course, that's all behind.
you've had the heights, and now you're just sort of relaxing a bit. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm looking out of my car and I'm quite content.
It's funny though, isn't it? When, you know, sort of like when you're young with the aspirations of, you know, the bit that draws you in is that excitement. Has it really been that exciting? Because I know working with a lot of musicians that it you know, the perception is it's rock and roll all the time. But is that the reality?
No, not anymore. No, it used to be, I got to say. You know, I'm of an age now where I've done that, and it was fantastic. And so there's no mystery about wow, what would it be like? And I'm really, really lucky, as I said earlier on, to be in that position. But now I'm also really, really lucky that I've got, you know, a family, and I've got a nice place here in Surrey, and I don't worry about money really. And I'm playing with I can pick and choose to an extent. So if something comes along, I don't fancy that really, then I don't do it. So I'm very, very happy and very lucky, yeah.
It's almost like self-fulfillment, isn't it? You finally got to that stage where you're thinking, yeah, this is good. You can enjoy it, got the pick of everything, which is good. But is there one that's actually eluded you? Is there something?
Well, no, I'm not saying that. Sorry, I'm not saying that I could have whatever gig I want, but it's not the case. All I'm saying is that if something comes along that I don't want to do, I can say, oh, no, it's not really me.
Yeah, that's good. That's a lovely position to be in, isn't it? But which one are you hoping that does ring up, though? Who would you really want to add to that massive list of people that you've got?
Probably McCartney, really. Mm. Yeah, because I've had a couple of cuts of contacts with him, and we played at his daughter's birthday party so years ago, 20, 25 years ago, and with my little party band. But then when we did the Diamond Jubilee thing, he was in the next dressing room to us with the Tom Jones band. And I happened to walk out the doors. He walked out. And I said, oh, hello, Paul. Do you remember me from when I played at your daughter's party? He got hold of my face and said, yes, I do, cheeky boy. How are you?
I love it.
very funny. I had a bit of a chat with him, but I'd love to be in his band. He's got a cracking band at the moment, but so I can't see any reason for him to change that.
Well, who knows?
But that would be a nice call to get. It really would. That'd be my childhood dream come true.
It'd be like a full circle, wouldn't it, for you? You know, that's where it all sort of started with that dream.
Exactly. Seeing him with that bass guitar, the Ed Sullivan Show, you know, and thinking, wow, I want to play with that guy. I want to be George Harrison as well.
Yeah, and why not?
And I've even got the Gretsch Country Gentleman, which is the same colour as George's old one.
Love it.
So Paul, if you're listening... I'm tooled up. I'm ready to go.
You're ready for that, the B of the bang. You're ready for the B of the bang, aren't you?
Yeah, I sure am.
Tell me a little bit about the SAS band, because that sounds a little bit like a complete super group. And again, it sounds a bit like a jamming session going on there. What's that?
Well, it was put together. It originally formed when, after the first Brian May band tour, we stopped touring. And Brian said, no, there's not going to be anything probably for a couple of years now. I went, what are we going to do? And that band that was backing Brian was myself, Spike Edney, who's Queen's keyboard player still and has been since 84. He's my old friend. And Neil Murray on bass and Cozy Powell on drums. So we thought, well, it's a really cracking band. Let's do something with it. So we got Chris Thompson along. Do you know Chris from Manzo?
Oh, yes.
And as a singer. And we did a couple of gigs, and it went really, really well. We thought, wow, this is good. Chris couldn't make it one week or one gig. So we called up a couple more singers and said, get sort of three or four singers along and make it a vibe, you know, make it a party thing. And we did that, went really well. So that is now the basis we do it on. We have... 4 or 5 years, these singers on each gig. And they're different with every show that we do. So it's Spike's All Stars, that's what the SAS stands for. We got sort of backing singers, horns, percussion. It's quite a big production.
Amazing. But of course, you've got all these different songs to learn. I mean, working with so many artists, there's a lot of songs there. How on earth do you manage to do that? You know, do they give you very long to learn them? Do they send you a CD? What was the process?
Well, funny you should say that, because tomorrow we've got our first day of rehearsal, just a sort of a look at the songs, really. But the SAS thing, and I've been sent the songs that week ago, and today I'm going to get really my head down and go through them. So I at least appear to know what I'm doing tomorrow. So a lot of these songs are songs that you'd know anyway. We got Justin Hawkins from the Darkness. He's doing these SAS things. So we're doing, what's it called? Christmas Time?
Don't Let the Bells End.
Of course. The beautifully titled Don't Let the Bells
the
End. How'd they get away with that one? How did they get away with that? What else are we doing? Oh, I believe in a thing called Love. And then he's got a couple of surprises up his sleeve. It's hilarious. I don't know if I should tell you that. Maybe I shouldn't. But he's doing some songs that you wouldn't dream that he would do, or that any man would do. But that's him all over, isn't it? And then we've got Toya. He's a regular with us, Toya Wilcox. Chris Thompson is with us, who was our first singer. Patty Russo, who was a singer with Meatloaf and with Cher. She's a great turn. She really is. So if anybody fancies coming down, I think one of the nights at Brook is sold out, but the other is nearly sold out, and G Live has got some tickets left. So snap them up.
Now, because it looks like a real party atmosphere there, perfect for Christmas and the season that we're in.
It is, exactly.
So what do you do in your downtime then, Jamie? I mean, crikey, it sounds like you're on the road all the time, but what do you do when you get a moment?
No, I don't. I learn more songs.
Oh, dear.
You know, I know. Well, I don't really. I spend time with the family. We recently got a dog.
Lovely.
A dirty dog. And I go out with the dog. And we'll have days out at the Hever Castle and things like that. But, we're going house hunting at the weekend down in the West Country. I'll be moving away from town which is not the worst thing in the world.
Not really, is it? Get a bit of the countryside and a bit more relaxation sounds good.
Yeah. And so, because I got 3 gigs at the weekend down to Sturminster and Newton and down that way in sort of Devon. So I'm going to take the opportunity to have a couple of houses.
Brilliant.
Oh. Yep. But downtown, I just don't get it. I don't... you know, I put aside a couple of weeks for a holiday every year, but other than that, I can't. I sit down. I know there's always something I got to do, and then if I go right, well, there's nothing to do. Oh Christ, I should be writing some songs. Mm. So then I sit down and think, right, let's look at some of those songs I got half written and try and finish them.
Yeah, it's almost like a lifestyle, isn't it? Really, it's not a job. It's a sort of way of living, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. It is. And it really has to be like that. There are some people who, you know, I've got friends, who musician friends, who go and they play golf and they do all kinds of stuff.
It's not you. You're just incessant with that guitar. You can't put it down.
Yeah, I mean, but I've got to say, if I have a night off, there's nothing I'd like more than sitting down in front of Netflix, you know, with my dinner and a glass of wine. And that's me. That'll be nice for me.
Yeah, the party days are gone. It's enough partying on the stage, isn't there, really, by the sound of it?
Yeah, there is. And after the shows, you know, we'll definitely sit and have a drink and be stupid. But, but those riotous days are gone, and that's fine.
Yeah, a new era for you.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what, Jamie? It's been a delight talking to you. And enjoy your afternoon with your music, because you've obviously got a lot of songs to learn now, haven't you, by the sound of it?
I have, yeah. Nice to talk to you, Kat.
You've been listening to Cattails. To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattails.co.uk.